for joining us once again. This is episode 10 of Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. We're just about reaching the awkward teens, I suppose. Jeff Smith is joining me from Washington today. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
You're a teeny bopper, right?
Yeah, teenager. I was there about 14 years ago.
Well, a teenager is leading us off this week in our news section. Michelle Wee had an interesting week, I suppose, in addition to getting her driver's license. Congrats,
yes.
I guess. Just that we need another female driver. Hopefully she'll be contained to the islands of Hawaii, at least. But
that's
whatever.
Close.
So she gets her driver's license and pretty much bombs out at the Sony. We talked about it a bit last week while it was going on, but shoots a 79, followed by, you know, a respectable 68, but basically there was no pressure on that Friday 68. She was, you know, not going to make the cut.
That's right.
You know, what do you think? Bomb, bust, good,
bad? Well, I just think she's not tournament tested right now. And, you know, obviously her goal is to play with the men. And, you know, that's going to take some time. I think it was the golf blog was saying that she needs more experience. And, you know, there's this part of golf that's entertainment. And so we've got this young girl that's playing with the guys. And, yeah, I think she's got the game to play with the guys, but she doesn't have the mental toughness right now to do it.
Well,
so.
One of the forum threads, I think, or something, was whether or not she's a choker. You know, I don't particularly find myself agreeing with the golf blog on this one. In addition to some, you know, the fact that they say she needs to keep playing PGA Tour events to get experience. I mean, they say why? Making a PGA cut is easier the more PGA tournaments you play. Law of averages. I mean, you know, put a million monkeys in a million PGA tournaments and one of them might make a cut someday, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that her odds are much better. But they also say things like, you know, the woman regularly drives the ball 290 plus yards. Well, her driving average is about 270. She's really not as long as a lot of people think. She's long for a girl. She's long for a 16-year-old girl. But she's not long when it comes to the PGA Tour. She's well under average, you know, on the PGA Tour.
Right.
So,
she's more of a Fred Funk than she is a Tiger Woods.
Right. Well, she's got the worst of both. She's got Fred Funk's distance and Tiger Woods' accuracy.
Right. Yeah. That's not good.
It's tough to score. Every round she's been in where she's had some pressure. You know, the last round of the U.S. Women's Open last year, whatever. I mean, she's shooting 80, you know, 79. I mean, it's par 70, so 79 is really 9 over, so.
Well, I don't think anybody doubts her ability to score well. Her 68, you know, indicated that she can
without,
play a tough golf
pressure,
course.
Without pressure, right.
Yeah, without pressure. But again, the mental factor, the experience is the thing that's holding her back right now.
Right. I saw somewhere that someone was criticizing ESPN for coming on the air and Andy North describing her game as beautiful three times within, you know, 45 seconds or something. Charlie Reimer or something in the post-round interview failing to ask her a question as blunt as, how does playing a PGA Tour event further your career? Or how does missing the cut in a PGA Tour event, or how does, you know, choking in a PGA Tour event further your career? How does that improve your odds of doing well in the future? And then,
right.
I don't know that it does. I mean, her first year was her closest year. She missed the cut by 1 2 years ago. Last year, you know, missed it by 4 or 5 or so. And this year misses it by 4 again. So she's not even gotten better since she was 14.
Right.
You know, it's one tournament, so, you know.
Yeah, again, I just think the age and the inexperience is just being shown. I don't think it's a character issue for her. I think she's a, you know, she's, by all accounts, a nice girl, but she's just too young and she's not had enough experience. And it just really shows us first of all, it shows how good she is, that she can get out there and shoot. Okay, granted, one day on an easier day, shoot a 68. It shows, you know, shows us how good she is, but also shows us the kind of competition that she's up against, and really how far she's got to come.
Right. I don't like her competing in PGA Tour events because her goal in those events is not to win; it's to make the cut, and that's like running a race, an 8-lap race, and saying I want to run the first 4 laps without tripping.
Right.
And you know, well, what do you do if you happen to not trip?
Right.
What do you have to play for? Oh, well, you know, yeah, I made the cut. Yeah, I mean, you're done at that point. What goal do you have?
Right. Well, but, you know, again, it's the entertainment value. It's the sponsors are going to continue to grant her exemptions, and you know, we're going to continue to see her do it because it brings attention to the particular venue that she's chosen to play.
Yeah,
and that's going to continue
until it gets old. I mean, if she keeps missing cuts, we're going to see it get old.
Yeah, well, and the public is going to make up their mind down the road, and I'm not sure at what point that's going to be, whether she's still a teenager or, you know, maybe sometime at, you know, heaven forbid, she's in her 20s and it doesn't happen. She's going to, you know, she's going to need to start getting it done.
Okay, I agree.
So, moving a little bit down the age ladder, someone brought up recently this idea that, you know, we got to get kids, young people, our children out on the golf course. And it was William K. Wolfram over at Travel Golf. Whether or not it was him or not, we're not sure.
And that picture looks like Pierce Brosnan, so it's probably the same guy. Same guy, someone else.
I was wondering, look, kind of Pierce Brosnan slash Tony off of 24.
Right.
You know, it's an amalgamation of them. So, William, if you're really there, hi. If not,
you're a figment of someone's imagination.
Exactly. But, you know, he makes a point, he or she or whoever it is, makes a point that, you know, we got to get kids out of the computer room, off their Xbox, and out on the golf course. I think this is a, you know, a completely valid thing. You know, we're living in a day when, you know, a lot of kids, we're not outside anymore. It's not a,
right.
You know, so you go back 20, 30, 40 years ago and kids were out playing in their backyard. I mean, I spent a lot of my grown-up years playing army in the backyard in the woods and running around, and I didn't have the internet. And I think we need to see more of that.
That's right. I think, you know, people go on and on about the things that golf can teach you as far as, you know, self-discipline, honor, etc. You know, I'm getting involved a little more in pool and stuff and playing a little bit. And a topic came up in one of the discussion forums recently about whether or not if you foul in pool, which there's various ways to foul, not hitting the ball you're supposed to hit first, things like that, whatever. Basically the discussion was, if you foul and your opponent doesn't see it, what do you do? And a lot of people are saying, well, the rules say it's their responsibility. And then other people are saying, well, if it's a minor foul, I don't say anything. If it's a big one, I try to point it out. You know, someone else might have seen it or something. And I was just sitting there going, you know, I wrote something that said, as a golfer, I would never think of not saying it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, because in my mind, I would know that I fouled, and yet, you know, if I happened to win by not mentioning that I fouled or something, in my mind, I'd have an asterisk next to that win.
Yeah.
It struck me as odd that, you know, once again, affirmed that golf is really the only sport in the world where you're completely incumbent upon yourself to call your own penalties. I thought pool might be another one, but as they pointed out, you know, the rules say it's your opponent's responsibility, technically, so...
Right. I think we need to keep, you know, reminding ourselves as a golfing public that, you know, this is a sport of honor, and there's a certain code of respect, you know, of honesty that has to happen, and it really does. It's an awesome way to teach young people how to interact in the world, and you know, they can come and watch us play a game of golf. If we blow our cool, throw clubs, and get all bent out of shape, well, that's just the kind of person they're going to become.
Right.
And so, you know, we've got to teach our kids, you know, this honorable game. And I think it's a great kind of a picture into what life can look like too.
Well, it's a good excuse to spend 2 hours with your kids. You know,
right?
Some you know, important thing is to have fun. I think Johnny Miller or somebody says, you know, stop, and you know, if your kid wants to play in the pond for a while, play in the pond for a while, you know, throw rocks in it, look at the frogs, whatever, you know. If they're having fun on the golf course, regardless of whether they're playing golf or not, that's good. There's a golf called, or a site called Sorta Golf, which basically, what do they have, 7, I think, changes to the rules? Yeah, 7 changes to the rules, which I really disagree with completely, except when you're playing with a kid. There's 7 changes are, always improve your lie, inside the leather's good, double bogey's the max, one in, one out principle, basically no stroke and distance, any found ball is yours, all equipment is conforming, and one mulligan per round, or something like that.
Right.
So I really disagree with those for myself. But, you know, those rules might, you know, make it a little more fun for a kid when you're playing. So, you know, the important thing is to make it fun for them.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, sort of golf's kind of a funny sight. I guess the place where I would disagree is that if you're someone who is just getting into the game of golf and you're just learning how to, you know, pick the ball clean and all of this, you know, you're going to have to kind of move past some of those rules so that you can just get through a round. You know, I mean, if you're shooting 135 because this is your, you know, second month playing the game and you're just trying to, you know, just pick up the ball and don't worry so much about it. But as you grow into the game and get better at it, yeah, I think these rules are
right. Obviously, important. As soon as you join a league or as soon as your kid or whatever starts perhaps competing or something, obviously they have to know the rules. So
that's
the breaking point. But when you're first learning, I think keeping it fun and is good, and those rules can help. And we'll link to those in the show notes as well. But sortofgolf.com if you want to, you know, go there without visiting our site first, I suppose. We're going to take a quick break here. We got Titleist as well as Golf God's Chip Shot segment about the PGA merchandise show, which kicks off here in a couple days. And then we'll be right back.
To hit the ball more solid off the tee, you need to swing at a pace you can't control and catch the ball right in the middle of the club face.
If you want to hit it a little bit longer, try moving it up in your stance just a little.
You got to complete your backswing.
Try a little pause at the top.
Try a bigger shoulder tap.
Grip it more in the fingers and less in the palm.
If you want to hit it big, you got to swing big.
And the most important tip of all,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
That was a good shot, too.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of thesandtrap.com. This week on Chip Shots, it's showtime.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
For the past two Decembers, at Christmas gatherings, I've managed to make my golf-addicted brother-in-law, Perry, green with envy by announcing that I'd be attending the annual PGA merchandise show in Orlando with Team Golf Gods. For those consumed by golf, especially those of us who live in the northern climates, nothing says kid in a candy store more than a warm-weather jaunt to Florida and to be surrounded by every golf gadget known to man in the 500,000 square feet of exhibit space in the Orange County Convention Center. But is going to the golf show all it's cracked up to be? Don't get me wrong, I love going to trade shows, both as an exhibitor and as a buyer, but shows are grueling work for both parties. If you're an exhibitor, the show is the culmination of months of preparation, with no details left to chance. Armies of contractors erect gigantic monuments to the golf gods in the form of massive trade show booths, with eye-candy graphics and Hollywood-style lighting. For four consecutive days from sunup to sundown, armies of salespeople will shake hands and kiss babies trying to sell massive amounts of whatever's new. With their arch rivals only a few aisles away, the tired and wounded will commence in the evening over adult beverages and tally up the day's victories and defeats. If you're buyers like us, the show means walking and walking and walking, usually followed by, you guessed it, more walking. Throw in a $20 convention lunch, which consists of a roller dog and a large Coke, and you can pretty much tell that this isn't Disneyland. As you travel that 500,000 square feet exhibition hall from end to end, you pass by hundreds of salespeople who, like hungry wolves, have keen eyes focused on your buyer's badge. For you are there to make or break their show. Good new golf products will literally start to sizzle and create their own buzz, but you'll be slack-jawed at the unbridled optimism of the entrepreneur who just spent his life savings to create a device which allows you to pitchfork your still-lit stogie off the turf without bending down after your tee shot. The good part about shows, despite the long hours, is the chance to connect with the companies and people you do business with. Stay in an industry long enough and you'll recognize faces of people you've never actually met. But I digress. So what will Golf Gods be seeking out at this year's show? In the putter category, we've decided to add the Super Smooth Garen Rife putter line. Nick N is back again with the recently launched 3DX DC Ironwood and the 3DX DC Utility. We'll hobnob with Team Callaway and look forward to taking a few swings with their new 460cc driver due in March. And no visit to the show would be complete without some trade show cheesecake. Bridgestone Golf will feature in their booth the ladies of Big Break 5. Well, that's it for Chip Shots this week, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com. We'll be back next week from the floor of the Orange County Convention Center. Now back to this week's podcast.
Okay, we appreciate the participation of Golf Gods and for their segment. We're coming back in. We want to talk a little bit about Bubba Watson. And this guy is Bubba. He's really hitting the ball a long, long way. We've had an interesting discussion going on about distance and its correlation with greens regulations and the importance of distance and the whole thing. So where are we at, Eric?
Well, Bubba Watson apparently creams the ball, and I've seen it. He hits it out there a good poke. He's Jason Gore, John Daly, Tiger Woods kind of rolled up into one with a little Phil Mickelson in because he's a lefty. Basically a big guy, Jason Gore, physical stature. Left-handed, hits the ball a mile. Happened to do well in the Sony, but he also hit the second most greens and putted lights out. He led in driving distance, and so on. So Tom's eventually won and was 11th in driving distance. So we got into a discussion on the forums about whether it was once again distance or, you know, his other things. Like I said, second most greens hit and putting really well that leads to good scoring. But really, this is a possible big story for the year. I mean, Nobody had heard of Bubba Watson 3 weeks ago, and now he's a fan favorite.
No, he's hitting the ball a long way. I saw that he hit it just 2 yards shy of 400 yards. So he was 150 yards out on a 552-yard par 5, which that's a long way.
I think I read somewhere that he hit it about 140 yards past Fred Funk as well on one hole. So with a name like Bubba, I don't know. It's a marketer's dream, I think. John Daly better watch his redneck reputation because he's got a challenger.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of new John Daly's. You know, Jason Gore's one of them, although, yeah, he's a long hitter.
Right.
And of course, Bubba, you know. We got some interesting guys showing up here that could deliver some interest.
It's too bad it's not like the 1940s because there were all kinds of lame marketing tie-ins, you know, and then later on in the years you got like candy bars named after you and stuff.
That's right.
You can imagine, you know, if there were like golf trading cards, you could get Bubba gum.
Yeah.
Right? That'd be a tie-in.
Bubbalicious.
That's right. I'm just dreading all the headlines we're gonna see this year if he does well.
That's right.
Hubba Bubba. So, oh well. Well, we got a second titleless ad here, and then we'll get to our beating ball segment. So we'll be right back.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think Abby Phillips.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightest.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
Alrighty, thanks Titleist for that. Titleist, a longtime sponsor of the Sand Trap, as well as Golf Gods, both friends of ours. Someone who's probably not a friend of ours, especially if he listens to last week's podcast, Donald Trump. Hot wife, not so hot golf course launch. Apparently he's having trouble selling out tee times at his newly opened golf course. Kind of a big thing when, you know, Donald Trump is having a little trouble here. Yeah. This is opening day tee times, and they're not sold out yet.
Well, at $300 a pop, you know, that's a pretty, you might say that's kind of an elite group of people who would, you know, just spend that much money on a round of golf.
Well, it's the opening round. It opened today, and yet plenty of time, plenty of spaces, plenty of tee times. You know, it's 60 degrees, 55 degrees out there, which is a little cooler for Los Angeles, but, you know, they had the LPGA Tour event there last year, and it was such a pain in the ass getting from hole to hole. They're not going back.
Right. So. Well, I mean, any Trump golf course is going to be a monstrosity. I mean, you know, I'm reading here that 25-foot high waterfalls, and he spent $200 million on this course. And so, you know, you're looking at a golf course that's probably really, really pretty, very nice. I mean, it's definitely not the kind of course that I would choose to build if I was, you know, if I had that kind of coin and I was going to build myself a course. It would be more of a traditional type thing. So maybe that's keeping people away.
Perhaps. I don't know. Maybe they were just sick of seeing him.
Maybe they're wondering what that gopher's doing on his head.
They're afraid of flyer lies out of the, I don't know. They're afraid of getting a hairy lie. Whatever. None of that worked. We'll move on. Move on to David Duval, who shot, what, a 62 or a 63 at the Sony Open?
It was a 63, I think.
63, you're right. You know, 7 under. Blistering round, made the cut to start, and then shot a 63 on, I think it was on Sunday, so.
Yeah.
And he really moved himself up on the leaderboard. This week, let's see, he's 4 under as we talk after 2 rounds. It's a 5-round event, so this is the Friday round. He's just started. He's 11 through 11 holes. Yeah. 1 under today through 11 holes again.
Well, that's good.
Yep, so, you know, he's really perhaps turned around. I mean, a 63 isn't hurt him. He was happy to shoot 73 last year. I don't think he did that very many times.
Yeah. Well, tell me what he shot yesterday. He started out strong the first day. Then wasn't he like 78? I saw him walk off the golf course yesterday, and man, he did not look happy.
No, he didn't. He long birdie,
and he was still frustrated.
Yeah, he didn't play well yesterday. It was about a 78 or 75 or so. Probably not 78 because that put him over par for the tournament. But I think he shot 75, 76 yesterday. But first round was the 67 or so. So
yeah,
is he turning it around? I mean, a couple months ago we were wondering if he'd make a cut this year.
Yeah, I think he's turning it around personally. But again, still shaky, but right. Better.
Well, I'm pulling for him. He's won $30,000 plus $30,243 this year already. So he's in a tie for 49th on the money list. Do you think he'll finish top 50?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No?
No. Right. I think if anything, he'll be hovering around 100. If he has a good year and he can maintain, you know, some calm, I think he'll be 90, 100.
Yeah. Well, Dave points out that his driving is something he needs to work on. He hit 39.3% of the fairways at the Sony, so really not that good. Dave points out a couple other things looking at Duval's stats, so we'll link to that in the show notes. But yeah, 63. So, you know, I picked him this week in my tournament league. You know, I'm hoping he pulls through for me. He was cheap, if nothing else.
it doesn't
cost much at this point.
That's right.
So, oh well. John Daly, I tuned in to watch his reality show, you know, cautiously, since Natalie Gulbis was such a bore, aside from, you know, the parts with her insane dad. John Daly show, not too bad. You know, it's fun. The best part was they took him up in a helicopter, and the pilot, right after taking off, he was a little leery because he'd never been in a helicopter, but right after taking off, the pilot goes, "Oh, we got to set her down. It's heating up." So then, apparently, like...
I wonder why.
So then they fly around for, like, 10 or 15 minutes without landing. And so he's freaking out. He's like, "Get me the beep off this beeping helicopter. He said 4 beeping minutes." You know, and they're still flying around. He's like, "Set it down now. Let's just drive there." Because, you know, it's like it's a 10-minute drive or a 4-minute flight. So,
right.
You know, so that was the fun part. The rest of the show was a little boring. I kind of like when he was hitting. The show was about him hitting balls across the Niagara Falls. I should say into the Niagara River because he didn't make it. They put different words up to describe what happened to each ball. It would, you know, like in the drink or won't find that one or, you know, whatever. So those were kind of humorous. But really, the rest of the show is kind of ho hum. You know, I'm not. We'll see how the next ones go. It's already better than the Natalie Gulbis show, but kind of slow. In parts, so.
Well, it's going to be better because, you know, we had this discussion last week and the week before, but I think John's pretty much himself, so he's going to get out there and he's going to be funny to listen to just because he's just lacking in so many things that, you know, many consider social graces.
Right.
So, he's funny.
Well, I did have Hooters Girls. I forgot that, so. So there we go.
Yep.
And our last topic this week, Paul Azinger. Basically, he said, well, the gloves are off. He's been very frank about the PGA Tour and the TV negotiations and stuff. Since ABC's out, he's out of the job after this year. Right. So I'm really hoping that this year on ABC we get to hear the real truth, brutal, honest truth.
From
both Paul Azinger and Nick Fowler. They have nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's not job security anymore.
No, ABC's not going to fire him, you know, a couple months in. I'm going to tune into some extra ABC golf telecasts this year just to see, you know, what they have to say. Certainly, they're not going to necessarily piss off their peers, you know, the other fellow PGA Tour members, but they may have something to say for Tim Fincham.
Well, I thought it was funny. You know, we'll have this link to Robert Thompson's Going for the Green in the show notes. Zinger apparently says about the subsequent 2007 schedule changes, there's not a player out here that gets to vote on it. Input. They didn't ask anybody I know.
Right.
So, again, you know, hey, we may see some kind of colorful commentary here. That's pretty right. Soon.
USA Today said, quoted him as saying, "I'm going to be no holds barred this year. If I think it, I'm saying it." So,
that'd be good.
I suppose we're just hoping that he has lots of thoughts.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right. To wrap things up, how about some predictions for Sunday here?
Oh, I'd love to give you some predictions.
Wow. Well,
if I knew what I was talking about.
Seahawks or
Because
my Steelers already knocked off one of those horsey teams,
which was just wasn't that something? Well, I have to be careful here because as a Seattle fan, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx my boys. But I'm picking the Seahawks because our opponent is Steve Smith. So I think we've got more people on the field who can get the job done. And the simple fact is the Seahawks defense really is underrated, and they are the buzz is that the Seahawks are the underdogs. People are betting against them, and I just think that they've got too many weapons.
Well, DeLome is playoff tested, went to the Super Bowl, so might be tough for you there. So you're playing against two people at least. Peppers is out, that helps. I don't know if your running back's going to be at full speed. So
Yeah, he got his bell rung.
I think it'll be a close game, but so will the AFC game, I think. We'll see. It'll be an interesting weekend. We could have we could be placing bets a week from now, but then again, both of us could be out of the Super Bowl by this time next week, too. So
that's true.
We shall see. And with that, we wish you well, unless you're a Browns fan, in which case, suck it. Or a Colts fan, or whatever. So, and
or you live in New Mexico. No. Did I just say
Arizona?
That? Arizona, that's it.
Arizona, and take business trips to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Suck it. Take care, guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.